Hi, I'm Alex. I'm an alcoholic. Good job, Jasmine. Sophia, thank you for asking me to speak. It's a pleasure to do service at Alcoholics Anonymous, and especially in a young people's meeting. I really needed to see you guys here when I came in. Is this on?
It's on.
I really need to see you guys when I came in. You know, I was pushed into rehab like 4 years ago. And, you know, like when you're like leaving, they tell you that like you need to get to a meeting as soon as you get out of here or you will die, basically. You know, like they say that pretty seriously. So I'm from Brooklyn. So, you know, I go to a local meeting like out there. And, you know, people talk about preconceived notions of what AA looks like, right? Like it's dirty in a dark like basement with like lots of old people. And that was my experience like for my first meeting, right? And as much pain as I was in at that point, because I was at such a low point, you know, that's all I could see. That's all I could see. I just remember being like, this guy's sobriety is older than I am. Like, so this isn't gonna work, you know, the situation isn't gonna work. And then when I had started to come into the city and I was in an outpatient program for a while, you know, my counselor, because I kept drinking, you know, and my counselor was like, why don't you check out these young people's meetings? And I did, and I realized I was not even close to being the youngest person. Like, I thought I was, like, the youngest person of any alcoholic, because I had no idea, and that is definitely not the case. And anyways, like, you guys are just, like, always having so much fun, and it's just, like, such a treat to see. Anyways, so what it was like, what happened, what it's like now. Like I said, I'm from Brooklyn, born and raised. You know, so I did a lot of partying, drinking in the city, in Brooklyn, all over the place. And my family life, it was fine, you know, like angry dad, angel of a mom, you know, brothers, sisters. And I just say that because it was like fine. Like I could have, my perception could have said I had the worst childhood, everything was awful, this, that, the other thing, you know, but it's like, it doesn't matter. Like my alcoholism is always going to tell me something different from like the reality at that time, you know, which led me into like a really big depression at some point, like in my teen years. But when I started drinking, I just remember, I was probably, I don't know, 11, 12, 6th, 7th grade, whatever. And we went to the bodega, and as long as you had money, you can get anything you want, you know? I remember I had found this, like, they made, like, fake IDs, but, like, of celebrities or something. Like, they're so, like, corny, you know? It, like, said the person's, and I had found this random one, like, it was, like, Baby Spice, like, the Spice Girls. I didn't look like any of the Spice Girls or Baby Spice, but I used this, you know, just to show him something. And, like, it was totally fine, you know. And he, like, gave me my alcohol and gave me, you know, like, me and all my friends alcohol, you know. And I was like, oh, you know. And I just liked that. Like, I was, like, the one that was, like, controlling the alcohol and felt cool because I could get it, you know. And I just, like, that for some reason, even though, like, there wasn't drinking really in my house, like, growing up, like, I just felt like I knew how to drink. Like, as soon as I started drinking, I felt like I knew what to do. And I, like, later became a bartender when I was, like, 17 and, like, somewhere in the city here. And it's just, like, I just knew what was going to taste good together. I knew it was, like, what was going to work. And I don't know where that came from. And so I started drinking with my friends and realized, like, I just remember thinking, like, I just felt tight all the time, you know, just tight. And I think I just took on everything that was going on around me, you know, just like really sensitive to situations that were around me, cared what other people thought about me, even though I would still put on a happy face and not let you know that like you upset me, you know. So I really, really took that on. And I was like the oldest of there were four of us, and I was the oldest, so, you know, I was very protective, you know, and thought I could fix my parents' problems and this, that, the other thing, all while, like, you know, maintaining, like, this good outer appearance. And, you know, alcohol just, when I started to drink, it just, like, kind of, I heard somebody said this, and I love this, it was like I put down this bag of bricks that I never knew I was carrying, And like that was definitely my experience with it, you know? And we started drinking at the bars when we were really young. We started going to bars when we were like 15, 16, you know? And just like in the neighborhood. And like, I was like, this is awesome. Like, this is so cool. And it was like the first time I felt like I was always had friends, whatever. But this was the first time that I really felt connected to anybody else is when I was drinking. And, you know, it was fun. It was really, really fun for a while. Like, that was my experience. Some people, you know, started drinking right away, and it's awful right away, and throwing up. And, like, you know, I had a little bit of, I had some fun years. And, you know, I did before I crossed that line that, like, we hear people talk about. You know, I could drink I thought somewhat normally. I mean, I look back and I definitely was drinking every day or doing some kind of, can you talk about drugs? Okay. I was taking some kind of pill, basically like whatever is going to be put in front of me to get me out of myself, I will do, you know. There were times that I knew if this combination together was going to make me feel bad. I knew it. There were these two pills that I would mix together, but I had them and they were there, so I would take them together every time, and I felt awful. Like, just, I remember having a thought, I'm like, I don't get that. Why am I doing that kind of thing? But because at this point, too, I was like about like 17, 18, and I just hit a really, really, really bad depression. And it just kind of came out of nowhere, I thought, but it was probably like just holding on to so much stuff, you know, just stuffing things down, not talking about things. And I didn't get out of bed for probably like a month maybe. And, you know, they gave me like a nice, like the doctors gave me like a nice prescription, like a few prescriptions, you know, and kind of sent me on my merry way. And that worked for a little bit, right? They're like, okay, go to this doctor, talk to him for a little bit, you know. And I thought when I talked to them, I just thought it was like, well, it's my dad or something, you know, whatever it was. It had nothing to do with me. Instead of trying to find like a solution and like actually trying to like live my life, you know, it was just like trying to blame other people. So, you know, got into college, like continued to drink. But like, this is normal, right? Like, we're in college, we're drinking and having a good time. And, but looking back, I definitely, like, there's always, like, in my college, in my refrigerator, there was always, and I don't know if you guys had this, I went to school outside Boston, there's these beer balls, and you, like, it's literally a big ball of beer, and you can put, like a keg tap on it. So I literally had one of those in my refrigerator at all times with, like, lots of vodka in the freezer, and like at least like four big bottles of wine, like at all times, you know. And I just thought it was like, this is what growing up was, and like I could entertain people if they came over, and it was, you know, it was really, really fun. And then anyways, it must have happened, and like this is where it starts to get a little blurry still for me, because it's like whenever that line crossed, it was after college. And thank God it was after college. There's no way I would have been able to make it out of college, like the way my life just started to go downhill really, really quickly. And I got a job after college, so I'm like working, and whatever happened, I don't remember when it happened, but I just started drinking in the morning. It was like, I don't know like what the thought was. Like, it must have just been like, oh, there's some extra wine left over or whatever, like must drink it. And, like, red wine, too, like, out of whatever, you know, bottle from the night before. And I was like, this is so good right now. Like, you know, drinking on an empty stomach at, like, and this was, I was working my hours at this point. My first job was, like, 7 a.m. to, like, 6:30 or something. Like, so I was drinking at, like, 5 o'clock in the morning. And, you know, and that kept happening. And I, like, literally didn't think there was anything wrong with that. There was no thought that crossed my mind that this is an issue, you know? And, you know, because I guess, like, the alcoholism was just, like, you deserve to drink like this. Like, everything's okay, you know? You're still going to work. Like, everything's fine. And then I started, at whatever point, I started bringing my alcohol to work with me. And I wasn't a bartender. Like, I was working in like an office building with lots of people, like in close vicinity to each other. And I was like drinking. And I remember thinking, so I was so smart, because instead of bringing like the whole like bottle of like wine or vodka or whatever it was, I would pour it into like a water bottle, so it was like lighter and it wouldn't like clank around like in my like bag, you know? And I would just drink throughout the day and like just go into the bathroom and drink at work, and I was just getting by, and I was just getting by, you know? And thinking back, I must have reeked. Like, drinking vodka and drinking red wine at work, like I must have reeked. And at this time too, I started dating a guy that I worked with, or like he worked in the same office building or whatever. And I didn't know this at the time, but his neck, he had a really bad like neck, something with his vertebrae. So I like pleasantly realized that he gets prescriptions to like extremely strong painkillers. And because he's not one of us and doesn't have an issue, like he has tons of them because he doesn't like to take them. Like he waits until he really, really needs them to take them, you know? So this was like just awesome, you know, just so, so awesome. But I didn't think there was like, you know, I felt like, I'm like, you know, it's, you're my boyfriend, of course, like we share these things. But I like knew somewhere, like I must have known somewhere that like it wasn't okay, because I wouldn't tell him about it, you know. I would hide. I would like take it from his medicine cabinet. Like I'm somewhere I must have known, or I would like only try to take one or two a day, you know, like nothing crazy, because that's not an issue. But then as it like as things start to progress, and you know, and my drinking got ugly and uglier, you know, he was just, I'm like, he just was yelling at me for drinking all the time and like taking his pills, because then he started to realize that I was taking his pills and everything. And I just thought, I'm like, he was a little bit older. So I'm like, it's just because he's older than me. Like, he's kind of like, if he's younger, he would be cooler about this situation, you know? And oh man, I have to make an amends to him. So, anyways, it just, you know, whatever happened, then it just started at some point. This was probably over. This behavior of everyday drinking like this was probably over maybe 2 year, a year and a half, 2 years, like, and it just started to get really dark. It started to get really, really dark, and that like depression came back, right? And I remember like I thought it was just seasonal. I'm like, oh, it's the winter. I hate the winter, so it must be like a seasonal depression thing, you know, like not knowing that like alcohol can cause like this kind of depression in you know? And I remember he finally, actually no, I did have like one shimmer of like maybe this is because of alcohol, but I like quickly like drank it away, you know? And I still didn't think there was anything wrong with this, or like I didn't try. Like, I love in the book they say like, you know, maybe try to like, you try to control your drinking, you tried to drink other things. Like, I didn't try any of these things, like, because I really didn't think there was an issue. And but the thing was, I just like stopped seeing people. Like, the only people I was really seeing at this point, like, had pushed, you know, friends, like pushed friends away. Like, when you're drinking like this, you don't have time for other people, you know. I was just like, this boyfriend really saw the most of it, and then like my mom and sister saw a lot of this too. But it started getting bad, and then finally, like, he actually. Well, I did get pulled over the day after my birthday, which my birthday is St. Patrick's Day, and I got pulled over. I was running late for work, so normally I would like take the bus and everything, but I was like, I took the car because I was running so late and I was so drunk, and I had drank that morning, of course, you know. So I took the car and I got in the HOV lane. If you don't know what an HOV lane, you need like three people in the car or something. Like, I went in the HOV lane by myself because I'm like, oh, they'll just give me a ticket, whatever. I'm just so late. Thank you. I'm just so late. I just have to go, you know. And he didn't just give me a ticket. He's just like, you reek like alcohol. And he had me blow in the thing. And I like, whatever, I blew in the thing. And I really thought nothing was going to come up. Like, so convinced nothing was going to happen. Like, he'd be like, okay, just go, whatever, you know. And he's like, get out of the car, you know. And, like, put me in handcuffs and, you know, and I was, whatever, in jail for the rest of the day and night. Well, no, I got out. I got in, went to jail at 7 and then got out at, like, midnight or something. And, you know, and I said to my parents, I was like, like, what an asshole, like, you know. And like, they had seen me in the morning, but I had like managed so well at this point. Like, the state of how I was when I was drinking at this point was just how I was all the time. Like, they thought I was fine when I was leaving too and like taking the car keys. And so they really didn't think I had a problem. They thought it was this cop as well. And so shortly after this, then the boyfriend pushed me into rehab, which I thought was a little extreme, but I was like, I guess, I didn't even realize that I had the, like, I could have said no. Like, I was just like, okay, I'm going to rehab. I was just like, okay, you know. And I loved because they didn't have a bed open for me till like a few days or whatever. And like, so the nurses told my mom, they're like, but you need to, like, she can't stop drinking, like, otherwise she'll probably like have a seizure or whatever, you know. So my mom's like, oh my god, let's go to the liquor store right now. And I was like, oh, like, finally I can start drinking in front of you people again, you know, because I was like hiding it. There's like just bottles in my room. There's, if you went into my closet, if you went into any of like my boots or any of like my bags, there's tons of bottles in there. And I was like, okay, I can finally, like, you know, drink around, like, you guys again. And I went into rehab, and it was awesome. It was really, like, I didn't know anything. I didn't know what Alcoholics Anonymous was. Like, I had no idea that, I had no idea. And, you know, I started to learn. Like, the rehab I went to was good. It was really, you know, 12-step based, and, you know, they really talked about the 12 steps, our book, you know, that lots of, like, they would bring AA meetings in and everything, and, or just speakers in, you know. So I didn't really know what an AA meeting was like, but they were bringing, like, AA speakers in. And I did get asked to leave early, though, because I kept talking to a guy. So I left, but, like, for the 16 days or so that I was there, it was very, very helpful. And then, but I left, and I mean, I thought I knew everything at this point, right? Like, I knew everything about sobriety and, you know, how to stay sober and what you're supposed to do and, you know. And I started going to an outpatient as well that, like, also said to start to go to AA meetings. And I did not get sober for probably a year. I kept doing this for a whole year. And, like, I remember, like, drinking wine, and I'm like, I don't even want to drink this at this point, you know, because I just felt so awful and so, like, just, like, so empty inside, you know. And I heard somebody, I like to mention this when I speak, because I really, really identified with this. You hear it all the time, but I actually, when I was in rehab, I identified with somebody saying they felt restless, irritable, and discontented, because I felt like that all the time, and I could never have put, like, such good words together to describe how I was, like, feeling all the time at this point. And it was so sad, you know. And, like, even though somehow I still had a job and all, like, I thought I had all these outside things, I'm like, oh, I don't have any consequences, but, like, it didn't matter. Like, I could have lost the job. I could have had nothing. And, like, whenever you're ready to, like, finally stop is when you're ready to stop. Like, those outside consequences didn't mean anything. Like, outside consequences that I did have and that I didn't have didn't mean anything. You know, it was just how awful I felt. And so finally, like, I came in, I like, loved it. I loved seeing you people here. Like, it was finally, like, I was, like, seeing people for the first time again, you know, like, fellowship, like, everything, like, I like actually start to feel good. You know, I start to feel really good. I got a sponsor. I went to meetings. I did tons of service, and I could not stay sober. I could not stay sober. I just kept drinking. And the reason the reason for that was, besides the fact that I thought I knew better, I did not tell anybody. Like, I just kept things to myself. Like, I did not know how to talk to you about these things. Like I would sit in a meeting knowing I was going to go drink, and I did not tell anybody. You know, it's just, like, kept these things so, like, close to myself. So finally, after doing this for, like, a year, and, you know, like, everybody welcomed me back all the time, you know, like, showed me so much love. Finally, I was like, I don't want to do this anymore. So, you know, I had gotten this other sponsor that I felt comfortable with, that I felt really comfortable with. And I'm like, whatever it is, I'm going to tell her. And it's not like I was hiding any deep, dark, awful, awful secrets. Like, I just needed to talk to somebody about anything that was going on, you know, any, like, semi-relevant thought that was, like, going on, you know. I just start to kind of share with her. And that's where it, like, actually started for me. Like, I continued to, you know, go to a meeting every day, did the steps with her. I've had plenty of service commitments, and just try to help other alcoholics, like, with less time than me, you know. And since then, that's like what worked, you know. It was like finally being honest, you know. And oh my God, it's just gotten so much better since then, you know. And I mean, so I'm coming up on 3 years, and everyone's like, oh, your second year, your third year is just going to be so awful, you know? Like, it's just going to be so bad and, like, tough, and life starts and all that stuff. And, like, but it was just very clear, right? It was like, if I'm sober, I actually have a choice. Like, if I'm drinking, I have no choice whatsoever. But I'm like, okay, if I'm sober, I have a choice. Today I can choose to be happy, right? You know? And just, like, try to keep it in basics, you know? And that, you know, that's just, like, I can choose what I can choose to help somebody, you know, something's going on, get out of myself, try to help somebody else, you know. And working with a newcomer, I found, always, like, puts things in perspective and, like, sees, like, what's really important here, you know. And, you know, because, like, all the outside stuff, it's, like, it's not that important. Not in, like, eh, whatever, like, screw it kind of way, but it's like, this is probably, like, the most important thing. Like, if I put my sobriety first, everything else will come, you know, the job, like, everything else will follow, you know. And how much time do I have? 1 minute. Oh, 2 minutes. The last thing, because I always forget to say this, is, like, I've had a lot of fun in sobriety too. Like, I didn't think that was gonna happen. I didn't think I was gonna go out anymore. I didn't think I was gonna party anymore. And, like, things have gotten so good. Like, when I'm not anxious all the time, when I'm not, like, you know, miserable, depressed, like, I'm actually able to be present and enjoy, like, what goes on when I am going out. And, like, bachelorette parties, I've had 6 weddings, I think, this past year, and, like, we've had just such a good time, like, going to all of them, you know. And I think I have, like, 6 more weddings, like, this year coming up too. And like, it's like, you can have a good time in sobriety, you know. And I've just especially made a good group of, like, sober girlfriends, you know, to just kind of, like, that have become, like, some of my best friends, you know. Thank you. And yeah, life is good. Life is good sober. I think I'll wrap up with that. And thanks for letting me share.